Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Becoming Mom and Dad podcast. We are on episode 21, weeks 35 and 36. It was a little hectic last weekend. It was our birthdays, and we were out of town most of the day Sunday, so we didn't really get a chance to put an episode together, but we're back today, and we have a lot of stuff that's been going on that we get to share. Kaylee's here, and I'm Skylar, as usual, and let's jump into it.
Yeah, so the last time we recorded an episode was November 3rd, so a lot has happened since then. I was only 34 weeks then, now we're almost 37, so between then and now, we have been to the hospital two times. I've been to the doctor's one time, and a lot's happened, so we'll just dive right into it. But starting with the baby's development, at 34 weeks last week, she was about the size of a papaya at 5.7-ish pounds and about 18.2 inches long. It says that she was getting more snug in like her position in the womb, and that she was developing this substance called surfactant, which is a protein that's apparently key for healthy lungs. So she was developing that. And then as we moved on into week 36, she became the size of a head of romaine lettuce, about 6.2 pounds and 18.6 inches long. And then she has fully formed lungs now, and she can now taste things, like taste different foods that I'm eating. She has fully formed taste buds, so I guess she'll be tasting everything I eat from now on, which is good because I've been eating a lot of different stuff recently. But I think kind of to start off this episode, I guess we should just kind of start off with that first week that we left off on. So do you want to talk about our birthday weeks and what that looked like, since you can kind of talk more about what we did for your birthday and my birthday and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a lot for our birthdays. For mine, we just went out to eat. And for Kaylee's birthday, we also went out to eat, but we're kind of just trying to get our little like date nights and enjoying going out to eat together in before the baby's here, because we know we won't have as many chances to just do things like that. And then on Sunday, we went to go to a ice sculpture event, I guess you would call it. It's like they make a whole Frosty the Snowman theme, like little walkthrough all out of ice. And it's that was little. Fun. Yeah, it's big. But I think like we're at the point now where kind of even traveling a little bit takes a pretty heavy toll on Kaylee, like with all the stuff her body's going through, because we just had like a 2-hour drive that day, and then we're there for like probably 2 hours and drove back. And by the time we got home, it was like she had just hiked all day or something, the way she felt.
It was pretty bad. I couldn't like move around on the couch at all. I had pretty intense like pelvic pressure. I was just sore like everywhere. And like I said, the first 2 hours was just sitting in the car. So I really was only walking around through the actual event for like 2 to 2.5 hours. We sat and ate at a restaurant and then we drove home. So it wasn't like I was up doing like any vigorous activity, like for any other person. It'd be a pretty lazy day actually. So I got home. Getting out of the truck was like horrible, honestly. And then we came inside and then I just sat on the couch for a little while. I don't remember if I went to bed early that night or not, or if I ended up getting in the bathtub, but sometimes like laying down or getting in the bath will help. So I probably did one of those two things. But it was pretty painful and I didn't have any more Tylenol. I had ran out at that point, so I didn't take anything. I kind of just suffered in silence.
I think that's been like the number one symptom now the past 2 weeks, is just the fatigue on her body is just like rough now at this point.
And honestly, mentally, it's exhausting because I'm so used to being like a pretty active person. Like before I was pregnant, I was serving like 4 to 5 times a week on tables. And then I was walking around for a majority of the day. I would get home, I would clean. And then I also was teaching bungee classes before I got pregnant, which is a lot. And I would burn like, 500 calories ish or at those, doing arm weights and all that stuff. And so I'm just used to being a more active person. So it's kind of mentally defeating when you're used to being able to do so many things, and now it's like doing like one tiny thing like completely wipes you out, and it's frustrating because you want to be able to do more, but like you can't. So it's
and like as the guy, it's like hard to see her like this because it's like obviously like, you know, you want to care for your partner and like do things to help her feel better and feel more comfortable. But like at this point, it's just like there's really not much I can do because I can't remove the baby off of her or anything. So it's kind of just like she kind of has to just deal with it. And there's just really not much to do, which is that's how it is at the end, I guess.
Yeah. So other than birthday celebrations that first week, we really didn't do much. That was election week. So I actually went to a birthing class at the hospital we were going to deliver at. And Skylar couldn't come because he was working the election for his news job. So my mom went with me. And when we got there, honestly, I was kind of like getting anxiety like on the way there on the drive. And I was texting Skylar like I was anxious because I didn't know what to expect. And it kind of like made it sink in more that like I'm literally about to have to go here and like push a baby out. And like I really don't like hospitals and stuff like that. So I was kind of getting anxious on the drive there. And then we got there a little bit early because, you know, hospitals can be kind of hectic. And actually, this one was a lot less hectic than what we're used to. But we're also from Memphis, where like anytime you go into a hospital, there's like 8 different parking lots and parking garages and breezeways to walk through and entrances and all that stuff. And it's kind of just confusing as to where to go in general. But the hospital here is pretty small. And so we kind of just went to, I feel like after hours, most hospitals only really have the emergency room open. So we went to the ER entrance and we walked in and we were just kind of like, hey, we're here for this birthing class. And of course, you know, like the people at the front desk were like, what are you talking about? We don't know what that is. So they called labor and delivery and they were like, oh yeah, just send them up here, whatever. So they just pointed us in the direction and me and my mom routed ourselves to the labor and delivery unit, which honestly wasn't that difficult. And it was good because when we asked them where we would actually park on the day of, they told us we should use the emergency room parking lot anyways, because more than likely if Skylar has to leave the hospital or someone's coming to visit, they'll be coming in through those doors. And so it's better to just like, you know, go in through that entrance closest to the car than, you know, walk around outside and try to come in through the other entrance anyway. So we got to see how we'll walk when we arrive the day of and how to get to the unit from where we'll be parking. And then we got up there. We waited for about 30 minutes, and for a while I was the only person there, and I was like, this town is so small, I'm literally about to be the only person at this class. And then finally, like, I think like 8 other pregnant women showed up with like, some of them had their husbands there and some of them were just like by themselves. But we sat out in the lobby for a little bit, and then they were supposed to have like a conference room open and do like a PowerPoint and like kind of go through like talking points with us, but the conference room was occupied, I think for a baby shower, they said, or something like that. So we ended up just walking through with one of the nurses throughout the whole unit. And surprisingly, what was also kind of freaking me out is like the hospital itself didn't even really look like a hospital. It kind of just looked like a prison, which is going to sound kind of aggressive, but it's just like it was, the building was so bland and like sterile looking. And I mean, I guess that's good because it was clean. It was definitely clean, but it was an older building. It just didn't feel like any other hospital I'd walked through before. Maybe Skylar can kind of explain it a little bit when we get to the second hospital visit of this week's episode of what he thought about it on the inside. But it was just very different from like a hospital scene that I typically see. And there were also no mothers there. There was literally one baby who had been born like obviously like, you know, several hours, you know, before we got there. And the mother, I'm sure was in her room somewhere, but like there were no other like screaming moms giving birth or babies or people running around or anything like that. It was like very quiet. Most of the rooms were empty. But we got to see the little triage area. We got to see our actual like labor and delivery room, which they're actually pretty big. They're kind of nice. Like they have like a lot of space. They have TVs in there. The bathrooms are big. Skylar's couch is kind of sad, but you know, it is what it is. The beds look super uncomfortable, so I'm not looking forward to sleeping on that for however many nights we have to be there. But the nursery, we got to see the nursery and there was a little baby in there getting their little exam done. So that was kind of cute. But then, that pretty much was it. They had the C-section room right next to the other labor and delivery rooms. Like the OR was right there. So it's kind of nice that if something were to happen and I had to have a C-section, it's not like they're taking me a far away and like everybody's going to be confused as to where I'm at. So it's all right there. At this hospital in particular, they do pre-labor you, you deliver, and then you stay in the same room the whole time you're there. So that's kind of nice. You don't have to like move your stuff around and kind of be transported after and stuff like that. So that will be kind of nice. They did tell me already that like when I come in, I'm not allowed to eat anything. All they have for me to eat is ice chips and popsicles, and that's if the OB says I can have the popsicles. So I don't see why they wouldn't, but they just don't want you to eat in case you have to do, you do have to go into a C-section or an OR or something, because apparently, I don't know anything about surgery, but apparently when they put you to sleep, you can like involuntarily throw up and then choke on it, or it's like risky or something. I don't know, but they just don't like you to eat until after the baby's born. So I didn't know that. So I was kind of just like, okay, cool. They told us to bring snacks. They pretty much told us they have everything we need as far as like for the baby or anything. They said the main things to bring with us were just like clothes for me, stuff to make me comfortable. And that they pretty much like, if I want any special outfits for the baby, which obviously I'm going to bring my own outfits for her anyways, but they pretty much made it seem chill. I mean, the doctor was there, and it actually was the pediatrician that we had been planning on like talking to and using. So we, my mom actually asked the nurse if we could talk to him. And so he came out and talked to us for a little bit, and he was really nice. He has like 8 kids, 2 sets of twins. Like, it's crazy. So he seems like very family oriented and had a lot of like the values I feel like we believe in for having for our daughter. So it was kind of nice to meet him and kind of get to see his face and like his personality before we just like give birth to our baby and give our daughter over to him. So that was kind of nice. But I think overall I left there feeling more prepared and like ready to be at the hospital, because like I said, hospitals make me super anxious. So like being there and like seeing it like made me feel better. So like the day of, I'm not just walking into this like situation not knowing what to expect, especially because people who've given birth at this hospital that I know didn't know about the classes and didn't go to them. So they just like went there when they were having the baby for the first time. So that was kind of like nice to be able to just like see it once before and like familiarize myself with the area and everything. So,
and it wasn't like a typical birthing, well, not typical, but it wasn't like a birthing class you see on movies or something where all the women are like on mats, like learning to breathe.
No,
and
not
stuff.
At all. Now, they literally were just like, here's the hospital, here's where you're gonna be, that's it.
Yeah, and we do have another class this Tuesday, which I can go to, and I don't know, maybe that one will be a little bit more.
They said this one, they talk more about like pain management, like the epidural and how that works and like stuff like that. They did do a breastfeeding portion at the last class that I was at with my mom, but we left for that part because I don't intend on breastfeeding. So we asked them like, do we need to stay if we're not doing that? And she was like, no. So we left. But yeah, so we do go back on Tuesday for another class. And the pediatricians will talk more about like what happens with the baby, the vaccines, all that stuff. For like, because usually they go to the doctor within the first 72 hours of being born. So we'll talk about that. So we'll give an update on that about what they kind of go over at the second visit. But that was pretty much it for the first week of our missed episode. But unless you have anything else you
no,
can remember
just
from that.
Just a lot of back pain and leg pain and feet pain and tiredness from
you. Did I do any more baby prep, or were we done by then? I feel like I don't know.
I think we've been pretty much done.
Yeah,
so.
We just kind of hung around. I think we finished up like the last couple Christmas decorations we wanted to do, and I think maybe I like did 2 more things to help prep for the hospital and stuff like that, but that was pretty much it. And then kind of going into this past week, I guess we'll start with Tuesday because that was the first like eventful day I had. Oh, Monday, I guess I should say Monday, the day after we went to that like ice thing and stuff, I woke up feeling so bad. And so I actually took a half day at work and like came home early and I was just resting and all that. And then Tuesday I had my doctor's appointment. It was my ultrasound appointment. And so we went, I had my ultrasound, which Skylar barely made it on time for, but he made it. But we went back there and they were just doing, you know, the final checks on the baby, making sure she was head down, getting her measurements and all that. We did get to see her again. And do you want to talk about how she looked in there?
Yeah, I mean, we barely got to see her. She still has her arms and hands basically in front of her face all the time. So we have little, like, peaks of her nose and, like, mouth between arms.
Yeah, it's the same exact position she was in at our 3D ultrasound literally 7 weeks ago, which is It is crazy because, I mean, now, like, when I think about it, I haven't felt any, like, super big movements from her. It's still just, like, kind of shuffling and kicking. And a lot of people say they can feel when their babies, like, flip inside their belly and stuff. And she has not moved from that spot. Like, she's been very snug on this left side over here, head down, feet up for a while now. But yeah, the ultrasound tech literally goes, oh, she has her arm in her mouth. And we were like, we all, like me, my mom, and Skylar all looked at each other like, surprising. Because she literally was doing that at the same, the ultrasound we had before. So she's just kind of chilling there. I guess she likes it. She's face up and she's facing the placenta, just loves snuggling against it. I still don't understand that, but.
And she does have hair, which the only reason I think of that is because Kaylee's mom has some weird fetish with babies having hair in the womb, because she's always obsessed with if they have hair or not.
And she had more hair. It sounded like she had more hair now than when she did at the 29 week ultrasound, because they talked to us before about how she only really had a lot of hair on the back and it was like very light on the top. But this lady sounded, made it sound like she had a decent amount on the top still, but that it was really out in the back.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll have a lot of hair.
Oh, and in my defense, I was late, but, well, I actually wasn't late. I was on time to the appointment, and almost every time we've been to appointments there, they make us sit in the lobby for like half an hour to an hour. So,
They called me in before my schedule.
The only time that I'm leaving work to get there and I'm on time, they decide to bring you in like early, so that's why I was behind.
But we did the ultrasound. She said everything looks good. We asked her how big she was, and the lady at the ultrasound told us that she was 6 pounds and 11 ounces estimated. Now, these can be wrong anywhere from like a pound over to a pound under, so like, well, it's not super concerning, but I'm also just like, some of them can be accurate. And I'm over here thinking, like, okay, if she's already 6 pounds and 11 ounces, like, I was literally 6 pounds and 14 ounces at birth, and she still has a month left, and typically, on average, babies gain about a half a pound a week the last month of pregnancy. So that means, I was starting to panic, because that means she could be pushing a 9-pound baby, and I do not want to push out a 9-pound baby. So I was kind of just like, oh my God, that's huge, blah, blah, and she was like, well, yeah, you know, whatever, and just kind of acted like it was normal. But I mean, she did admit, like, you know, that was pretty on the larger size of average. So I'm hoping she doesn't grow too much, or maybe it was wrong, but we'll see. At that point, we went into the room where I was going to be seen by my actual doctor. And it was funny because maybe Skylar can recall more, because I feel like all these appointments are like tunnel vision for me. But I feel like we went in there. They told me to lay down. I was waiting for her to come in. And when the doctor came in, this is the doctor I've been seeing more than I've seen the rest of them. This is the one I've kind of been seeing since the beginning. But I kind of like looked at her and I was like, they told me she's big. What do I do? Like, I don't want to push out a big baby. And I was like kind of nervous. And she was like, it's okay. She's just healthy. It's fine. Like, she's not that big. It's going to be okay. And she was kind of just like reassuring me. And I was like, I really don't want to push out a 10-pound baby. And she was like, I don't blame you. Like, we're not going to do that. Whatever. And she kind of like reassured me on that and said that, you know, she even said this was supposed to be my last ultrasound, but she told me that because of her size, I guess, or I don't know, really know why. I'm just assuming it's because of her size, that they said that she would send me in for another ultrasound, probably closer to my due date, to get another size reading on her. And the only reason I would assume they would do that is if, you know, sometimes if babies do get really big to the point where like they might have to be C-section babies instead, they may induce you into labor early. So you're not pushing out a giant baby. But she said she would do that. And then she told me that I had to get my little strep B test or whatever, which is like the one where they test you for like some kind of like, I guess, what is it? Like a, I don't even know really what it is. Like,
I guess it's an illness. So
yeah. I don't know. Some kind of like, I guess, cells you can have, like just like almost like carrier cells you can have for like a certain sickness. And then if you have it, they like have to run antibiotics through you for 4 hours while you're in the hospital before you can actually deliver, or it's like causes a risk for the baby. So they tested me for that. It came back negative. And then we talked about kind of like her checking me, like checking my cervix. So I've been talking to people now recently about how about at 36 weeks or so is when they start checking you for like any dilation or effacement or anything down there. So she was checking me, and I didn't know she was checking me at the time, because she was just, you know, they told me they were doing like the swab test. So she's down there with her hands in the swab and doing her thing. And I was like, oh yeah, do y'all start like, do people actually get dilated this early? And she's like, oh yeah, that's why we start checking this early. And I was like, oh, are you going to check me today? And she was like, oh yeah, I just did. And I was like, anything? And she was like, no. So I'm not dilated or anything. I did ask her because, oh, this was something I guess I should have talked about earlier. But when we were at the hospital, I kind of asked, you know, like, if we're starting to push, like, my due date and she's not coming and not progressing at all, do they let us induce at, like, 40 weeks? And they basically, both people I asked told me that they typically don't induce unless necessary until 41 weeks, which would put her coming closer to the 16th or 17th, which I do not want because that's so close to Christmas. And I don't really want that for her, for like her birthday. And I also just don't want to be in pain on Christmas still. So I asked my doctor when we were at the clinic, I was like, so they told me they wouldn't induce me till 41 weeks. Like, is that actually true? And she kind of told me, cause like she also delivered my friend who had her baby back in March. And so she was like, if it's getting that close and she hasn't progressed, like we'll do another ultrasound and we'll make plans to like do something closer to the due date. And I said, who do I talk to about that? And she was like, me. And I was like, okay. So I've kind of just like decided that for the rest of my appointments, I kind of was unsure who I wanted to keep seeing or if I wanted to keep seeing everyone. But I'm probably just going to make the rest of my appointments with her, especially because like my due date is on Tuesday and she's in the office on Tuesdays. So I'll be going like, if I just go every Tuesday, then it'll be keep it pretty consistent. And I can see her and she kind of reassured me that she hopefully will not make me keep the baby in all the way to 41 weeks exactly. So I feel better about that. But I think that was pretty much it as far as that doctor's visit. We did end up placing bets as a family on when her birthday will be, which is kind of fun. So we all kind of like we made like a little spreadsheet of like starting actually from today all the way until December 16th. And everybody bet $5 on what day they think she'll come. And whenever she comes, that person will get $150. So that's pretty fun. I only guessed 2 days. My predictions were the 29th and the 6th. And Skylar's were the 27th and the 28th. So
I thought mine were back to back.
They are the 27th and the 28th.
Oh, sorry.
yeah, so
I was thinking the 26th.
It might have been the 26th and 27th. I can't remember. But it was like 2 days close together. And then mine was the day. But yeah, yours is the 26th and 27th. And then my nephew bet on Thanksgiving Day. I bet the day after Thanksgiving. And then I bet the like 6th of December because I'm just really manifesting that she comes before her due date.
So far, I've had a pretty good, like, I had a good intuition. I thought she was a girl and she was. And then I also had the intuition that I thought you were going to get pregnant very easily and you did. But I don't have an intuition for the date.
I don't have an intuition for the date. It's more, I have an intuition for like the week span. So kind of like what I've been thinking is that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which I believe is the 27th, I think she'll come anywhere from then until the following Wednesday, which is the 4th. So that's really only a week and a half-ish early from her due date up until like, and that goes all the way until like 6 days before her due date. So I think it'll be somewhere in there.
And I have an intuition.
And if that's true, then that means we're going to have a baby in like 2 weeks. So.
Yeah. And I have an intuition that you're going to have a very easy birth too. So I'm hoping I speak that one into existence.
I really hope so. Cause I've heard some traumatic stories recently and I'm not looking forward to that. So, but do you want to kind of talk about what happened on Thursday and you can kind of give your perspective first since I've been talking for so long and my voice hurts.
Yeah, so on Thursday, it was a normal day and Kaylee went to work and I was at work and then I came home for my break and she came home at the same time and we were just hanging out doing whatever and then I went back to work and I literally got back to work, had like been in the office like 5 minutes and she calls me and she's like, I think my water broke. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I think my water broke, which I was like, you weren't even dilated like 2 days ago. Like, I don't.
By the way, it can progress that quickly. You can go from 0 to 100 fast.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, like we need to, I'm like, okay, so like, what do we do? And she's like, well, we need to go to she called the clinic first and her mom came over to the house and the clinic told her to go to the hospital because they could do a test to see if her water broke, but theirs always wasn't 100% accurate. So they just said it was better if she just went to the hospital because they had a better test. So I came home. I called my boss and I was like, hey, my wife thinks her water broke. I need to go. And he was completely nice about it. No problem. And so
now, do you want to know what actually happened? Because I called him back after I called the doctor and I'm like, where are you? Because I'm waiting on Skylar to get home from work to take me to the hospital. He's like, At work. What do you mean? I'm like, I told you to come take me to the hospital.
Well, no, because she called me the first time and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? And she's like, well, she's like, let me call the clinic and that, and then she hung up. And so I didn't really get a what to do. So I was still just was waiting like in
my
head, for,
okay, if my water potentially broke, we're obviously going to the hospital. So,
but anyway, so I came home and I mean, not to like toot my own horn, but like I was very,
he was very calm.
I was very calm with the whole thing. Like I was just like, okay, like what do you need to do? And then, so we, which I don't know if this was a mistake or not for when the real thing happens, but so. Well, we weren't sure if she was like actually her water broke. So we didn't bring any of our stuff for the hospital. Dude, we
prepared it.
Yeah, we prepared it and her mom was going to bring it afterwards if
we got admitted.
Yeah, if she was in labor. So we got in the car, we went to the hospital, but first we stopped for a snack.
Because literally I was traumatized after what they told me the week before that I wouldn't be able to eat and I hadn't eaten all day. And so the fastest thing we could get was McDonald's. So we just pulled up in the drive-thru, I had some fries, and we went to the hospital. So.
And then we got there and obviously since Kaylee went to the class, she knew exactly where to tell me to park and where
Skyler
to go.
Skyler did
and,
not know where he was going.
Yeah, we were just like, we went to the labor and delivery.
Which if you know me at all, this was surprising because I'm usually very like directionally and like just confused. Yeah. Like I usually can't navigate anything or any buildings or anything. And I was actually able to get us all the way to the unit without
the hospital question. Also looked like it had a really nice gift shop.
Oh my God.
But
do you want to talk about your initial reaction to that, what the hospital looked like on the inside and like how you felt walking through it?
Or? Oh yeah. It was very quiet. I mean, it looked like a hospital to me, but it was just very like, there was just
to
no
me, it looked
one
more like an elementary school.
Like, I guess I don't know. We only passed like two people in the whole entire walk, like through the hallways, and which I'm happy about because I hate hospitals. Like when I was like a kid, you know, I had grandparents that were in the hospital like kind of frequently and I hated going there. Like they freaked me out and there's so many people. And so like this one being so quiet and not a lot of people like was honestly refreshing. Like I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I can chill here. But we went to labor and delivery and we walked up to the nurses and Kaylee's like, oh, like I think my water broke, but I'm not sure. And, so they put us in triage and
so just to preface this really quick, they told me basically that if you go to the hospital, even if you are like 99% sure you're in labor and like you're having contractions and all that, they're going to put you in triage first. They're not going to admit you. Like you have to sit in triage and get monitored before they will admit you. So that's why they do
which
that.
The triage was like in the labor and delivery unit still. Like it wasn't like
it's
we
just
were
was
in a
big room
area
with a bunch of curtains and beds.
Yeah. And so they put her on a bed and hooked her up to like there was like a heart rate monitor and then like a monitor to track contractions and they took her blood pressure and then they were like,
they had her pee in a cup.
Yeah. They had her pee in a cup. They did a swab for the, to test if any amniotic fluid was...
They basically test for the protein that would be in the amniotic fluid. And it's kind of... They said it was kind of like similar to a pregnancy test. They would just like... It would come back either positive for the protein or negative, and then I would know whether or not it broke or not.
So they swabbed that, and they took it, and then the lady's like, oh, like it usually takes our lab like 20 minutes to get it processed. Well, then we ended up sitting there for like almost an hour and a half just with no information. We were like... and the funniest part was like... I was, like, kind of staying calm and, like, because I wasn't, you know, I knew that there was a possibility that she wasn't in labor. So I wasn't, like, sitting there, like, oh, okay, here we go. I mean, I was, I was prepping, like, if I needed to be like that. But I was just like, let's just wait and see what they say. And Kaylee, on the other hand, was over here trying to read all the machines and look at the printouts it was giving just to try and figure out if she was having contractions.
Here's the difference, though. Of course, while I'm there, I have three Braxton Hicks contractions, like literally. And on the contraction machine, I can see where it's moving while I'm like feeling this tightness in my stomach. So I was like borderline convinced I was having contractions. And I was like, but they weren't super painful. But then kind of to the backstory to that is like when I talked to my doctor on that Tuesday, I was telling her how my mom didn't have super painful labor contractions and all that. And she was like, well, you need to be prepared because like if she didn't have super painful contractions, you may not either. And like some people don't have a painful labor experience. They have the contractions and they can feel them, but they're not super painful. So in my mind, I'm sitting here. I am also kind of convinced my water just broke and I'm feeling this tightness in my stomach. So like I kind of go from like freaking out and being calm to being like, oh my God, I might have to actually push this baby out like soon. And so I, on the other hand, like Skylar was trying to like, you know, stay more on the side of like, I'm just going to chill until we know something. But I was like, you know, if this is actually happening, like, I'm not mentally ready at all. Like, I got to get ready to get an epidural, to get an IV. I hate needles, like, to get ready to push this out. And I was like, not preparing to do this for at least another 2 weeks. And so I was kind of just taking that time to kind of get ready. And then, you know, my mom's texting me. I'm texting my my other friend, and I'm like, you know, this could be happening, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, well, just let me know. I can get off work, like, tomorrow if I need to and come up there and whatever. And she was like, and then my mom's texting me saying, oh, my God, I just got, like, the strongest whiff of Nanny's perfume in my office, and all the workers here are smelling it, too. Like, this is really happening, blah, blah. So then they're all gassing me up that I'm about to have this baby. So it was just a lot. I still was, like, in my head, like, you know, this obviously could not be happening. But then I was like, you know, just kind of preparing myself just in case anyways. But then part of me, I think, was getting excited. That was like, oh my God, like, we're going to bring our baby home. Like, this is so fun. And then I was like telling Skylar, I'm like, oh my God, this means I'll be like recovered by Thanksgiving. And by Christmas, I'll be like a month postpartum. It'll be great. And so I was kind of getting like, honestly, like, I was almost in a place where I was ready. And like, I was excited that she was coming at this time, which, I mean, to be fair, 36 weeks is still pretty early, but it's also like a lot of successful births happen that early and don't have any NICU time and stuff. So I was kind of hopeful. But anyways, if you want to continue with what happened after that.
Yeah, we sent texts. Like, I texted my parents and I was like, hey, like, we're going to the hospital. Kaylee thinks her water broke. I was like, but we don't know for sure. So we had some people like on alert, and then so we sat there for, like, way longer than 20 minutes, and then...
Keep in mind, I'm just getting more anxious by the minute.
Yeah, and then finally, a different nurse comes in, and she just, like, walks in, and she goes, okay, your water didn't break, you can go home. And I just bursted out laughing, just because, like, Kaylee had been sitting there, like, slowly convincing herself more and more that, like, it was about to happen. And, like, it was just funny to, like, go from, oh, crap, like, this might actually happen. Honestly, and then obviously it was like, oh, just go home.
It was honestly deflating. Like, it literally just came in. It's like you had your birthday balloon in your hand and she just, like, popped it. Like, yeah. You're just like, okay. And it's almost like when you prepare for, like, a test and you, like, you feel ready. And then they're like, the teacher or professor's like, oh, the test is canceled. You're like, bro, I just hyped myself up for this. Like, what do you mean? So, I mean, obviously I wasn't, like, sad, but I was just like, you know, what was I not? I wasn't just going to sit there and be unprepared if they did. If they walked in and said, all right, yeah, we're going to admit you, time to push in like an hour. I was not going to be like unprepared for that. So I had to do something. But yeah, it was a false alarm. And so I guess now y'all's question in your head is probably like, Kaylee, how did you think that your water broke when it didn't? Or what made you think that? So here's the kind of embarrassing part of the story. I was literally getting into the shower and, I had my one leg, you know, kind of like, because we have like one of those like garden tub showers. We don't have some kind of fancy walk-in shower. I kind of had my one leg like in the shower, my other leg out of the shower, and I was going to turn the hot water on because I have to kind of stand in the tub to reach the hot water nozzle. And so I usually step in there with one foot, turn it on, and then step back out and wait for it to warm up, and then I'll get in. So I go in to turn the water on. I have my hand on the nozzle. And before I even turn the water on, all of a sudden, I'm just gushing water. And I'm like, and it wasn't, I guess it wasn't really gushing, but it was just like coming out. And I have like, obviously I've peed like before, duh. But I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I've never peed so unawarely in my entire life, or what I thought might've been my water. I was like, my first thought was, did I just pee on myself or did my water just break? Because I genuinely didn't know. And like, I didn't have the sensation of having to pee. I didn't feel like I had to pee before I was getting in the shower. Like, it was like totally just like full on. Just, it was like, I didn't feel anything. It was just coming out. And so that's why I was like, oh my God, my water might've just broken. Because normally if you pee yourself, you know, you're peeing, you can stop yourself from peeing on yourself. And like, it's, you're aware and you have that sensation of like peeing, and I didn't have any of that. Like, other than the water physically coming out of my body, I felt nothing. And so I immediately am like, what the hell just happened? And so I'm looking at it and like, TMI, but this is what the podcast is about. I'm like looking at it, analyzing it, being like, is this pee or is this water? I have no idea. And obviously by water, I mean like amniotic fluid, but like, I'm like sitting here analyzing it. It doesn't smell like pee. It kind of looks like pee, but I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what amniotic fluid looks like either. So I'm kind of just like, what do I do? And so then I end up texting my mom and I FaceTime her, I was like, is it weird if I show you what it looks like? And she's like, no, just show me. And so she showed me and, Oh my God, who's blowing up my phone? Jesus. She shows me, and then, or I show her, and she's like, I don't know, it doesn't really look like pee, because it was like, almost like a rusty color, like more rusty looking than normal. So I was like, she was like, I don't know, I would call your doctor. And so that's how I got to the decision to call my doctor and do all that. And so basically, bottom line is, I was pretty sure, like, I was like maybe like 70-30 that my water broke versus like I peed myself. But I guess at the end of the day, I just fully lost control of my bladder and just peed. I don't know. It's really weird because, like I said, I feel like normally when people pee, obviously they know that they're peeing, or like they're like, oh crap, I'm about to pee myself, and they can't hold it anymore and they pee. But like, I didn't have any of that. So it was just very strange. And now I look back on it and I'm like, I was telling Skylar the whole way to the hospital, I'm like, how embarrassing is it going to be if I go there thinking my water broke, and then they're like, oh no, you didn't, you're just dumb, and you just peed on yourself. Like, it's just, it was a weird situation.
Which I kept telling her it's not embarrassing, because I'm sure a million people go through it. I mean, I even, when I, obviously when I left work, and like, I had to say why I was leaving, then I had to like text my boss and be like, oh, it was a false alarm. And then like the next
people
day.
People assume, like.
Well, the next day I came in and people were like, oh, so what happened? So what happened? And I was just like, oh, it's just like a false alarm, whatever. And I mean, some of my older coworkers that have had kids were like, oh, like, that happens, that be prepared, because that that'll usually happen a few times or something. So
yeah, so.
But it was a really good, honestly, like, it was a good walkthrough experience to go through it. Like, I mean, we went and we knew
were
where to go,
prepared to have a baby.
So, and honestly, like, we were both like super calm.
Like, I was even just like ready at that point. I was like, whatever.
Like, Kaylee's mom, even like, she was talking to me last night, and she was like, yeah, she was like, you did a really good job. Like, you were just there and you were ready to go and asked what needed to be done, and like, you weren't freaking out. And I was like, and I mean, I don't think I'm gonna freak out when the real thing happens.
About? Like, at this point, we've been knowing a baby's gonna come for 9 months. Like, I don't think you're gonna be like, you know, the Sims in Sims, or like, you know, other people in movies who are like, oh my God, the baby's coming, and like spazzing out.
Well, yeah, but you know, in real life, some people do that.
So my dad, when my mom was telling him it was time to go to the hospital when I was going to be born, my dad said, okay, got into the bathtub, closed the door, and sat in the tub and did not get out. And my grandmother had to come banging on the door to get him to go to the hospital. And my grandmother ended up taking her, and then he finally showed up.
Some
guys do panic. It's weird.
The funny thing when I think about that is the fact that your dad already had a kid before you, so it wasn't like it was his first time.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know what that situation was like. But either way, it's just like, I just feel like my dad always panics when it comes to like me or my sisters having to go to like the doctor or the ER or like anything like that. Like, he just freaks out. Like, one time my dad dropped my sister, like, he was holding her and she like slipped out of his arm and like hit her head on the fireplace, and she was like very, very young, like under 6 months old young. And my dad just like started sitting in our recliner, rocking back and forth and just making this like moaning sound, and was like in like a internal state of panic.
Sorry, Mike.
And so, yeah. And so my mom had to take my sister to the hospital. But anyways, long story short, I guess there are men that panic and freak out. Skylar was really calm and he was like, just chill. If anything, I was getting annoyed because he was so calm. He was over there on his phone, on TikTok. I'm like, pay attention to me. I'm like, I could be going into labor. Like, what are you doing?
And
I was just like, dude, like, pay attention. What's going on? Like, I'm scared. And I was getting nervous. So I was just like, oh my God, help me. But yeah, it was honestly a cool experience because, like I said, we kind of got to see, like, what the real day will be like when it actually
comes out. Oh, and we found out, I don't know how accurate it'll be, but the nurse told us what's your blood type's.
Apparently, I'm A positive is my blood type.
Yeah, and our nurse was telling us that she was in, like a group of people that are all...
She has A positive blood type, too, and she's in a Facebook group with people that have the same blood type.
No, it's the people with labor and delivery nurses.
Oh.
Yeah, and she said that she's in a group with labor and delivery nurses, and that they started saying that people with A positive blood have, like, easier births. Like, they've noticed that, and then she said she started paying attention to it, and she noticed it, too. So hopefully that's maybe accurate somehow.
Yeah. And it was honestly like, part of me was kind of sad because I was like, dang, if that was the real thing, that was easy. And now I'm like, it might not be that easy as easy as I thought it was going to be. But yeah, so I guess we'll see. But I still am kind of under the impression, like, and especially now I know how big she is. I don't think that necessarily my due date is wrong because I don't think that, like, I mean, I know when stuff happened and I know when my last period was. So it's just like, I don't think it could be off by that much. But I do just still have this strong feeling that she is going to come sometime between the 38.5 week to 39.5 week mark. So we'll see, I guess. But that was our little hospital journey. So.
Yep. And the rest of the week after that has been calm. Like I said, symptoms still the same from last week as far as her being in her body just being stressed, honestly.
I will say the last 2 weeks, like especially the last 2 weeks, my appetite has skyrocketed. I mean, I'm talking about eating dinner and then immediately eating like a whole nother plate of food right after. Like, and I'm not, and if you know me, I've never really been like that. I'm not like a huge eater like that. And I mean, after Skylar's birthday dinner, we were driving home from like hibachi, like, and I ate my whole dinner, which most people would be, you know, full from. And it's like, I got home and I had a snack and then I had another snack. And then eventually the snacks weren't cutting it. And I just made myself a whole peanut butter sandwich and just ate it. And like, I was just like, what is going on? And then the same thing kind of happened. Was it last night or like, I don't know when it was.
It's been most nights.
I was going to say it's been a while now where I just eat dinner and I'm just like not full. Like, I mean, it's not just like, oh yeah, I could eat more. It's like, no, I need to eat
more. What was it last night? Like, I was at work and I was going to bring her home dinner. And then like, she texted me earlier in the night and she's like, oh, like I got really hungry. Like I ate a peanut butter sandwich. And I'm like, she's like, but like, you know, still
this
bring my
like
dinner.
It was like 5:30 though. Yeah. It wasn't super early.
And then, then I got home with her dinner and then she's sitting there and she's like, oh, I ate a bowl of soup, but like, I still want my dinner.
Yeah. And I was texting him like an hour before he got home and I was like, I think I'm going to have popcorn. Like, I don't think I can wait that long. So I had a bowl of popcorn and that was when I was like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. So I had a bowl of leftover soup and then he got home as I was eating the soup and then I still ate my dinner. And then pretty sure I still had a snack after that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So it's just, it's been crazy and it's not like, and it sounds like when I talk about it, it almost sounds like embarrassing, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not embarrassed about it because it's genuinely how my body is reacting. Like my body is like, I feel like when you're pregnant, I've noticed like throughout the whole time, like your body will tell you what you need. Like, and a lot of the times, like for me, I've always had like a really hard time just like with drinking water in general. And honestly, so has Skylar. Like we don't drink a lot of water until like we get to the point where like we feel dehydrated or like we feel thirsty and then like whatever. So I will say throughout pregnancy, my body has been very like when I'm drinking a lot of water, I've noticed it's because my body's almost like telling me I need water. So like I just like throughout my first trimester, I drank so much more water than I ever have in my whole life. And it's because my body was like, your body will give you signs. And like, so I just feel like it's like my body almost like every time I want to eat more food, it's like I'm just trying to listen to my body because it's like obviously it needs it for a reason and stuff like that. And same thing with like rest. Like sometimes I don't feel like laying down. My body's like, no, you need to lay down and like chill out. And so like I feel like if you just kind of like listen to those signs and like your body's going to get everything it needs. And it's, and if it's not, it's going to tell you.
And I've been like, I mean, I've been telling her like, you know, and for anyone who's pregnant, like don't be all like, oh, like I'm embarrassed because I'm eating a lot or I'm hungry. Or, I mean, it's just like that you're pregnant. Like I told Kaylee, I'm like, it's you like have a free pass to do a lot of things because
yeah,
like no one's going to judge you
because
you're
pregnant.
I guess
that's the point that I don't want to be at. I don't want to be eating just to eat just because I'm pregnant.
Well, no, but I'm saying like if you
are
hungry, you're hungry.
But that's why I don't feel embarrassed about it because genuinely every time like I am hungry and my body is wanting to eat. Like, so it's just like I'm just, you know, chilling. And there have been a couple times recently where I've been really nauseous and like been back on my I really need mashed potatoes kick that I was on in the first trimester, which it's only happened like a couple times and it's passed like once I've eaten like other food. But like I will say some people talk about the nausea coming back the last couple weeks and like the fatigue coming back the last couple weeks. I haven't really felt it too much, but like I do see what people are talking about. I had my first episode of acid reflux last night. It was horrible. I was in the middle of talking to somebody on the phone and all of a sudden like literally stomach acid just came up in my throat and it scorched my entire throat. And I was literally choking and drinking water and nothing was helping. And so finally I was just like, I asked my friend, I'm like, was that acid reflux I just experienced? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, that is so weird because I've never had that before. But apparently like I've seen like on TikTok and stuff, like around this time is when people kind of start getting that. They'll start getting carpal tunnel in their fingers and stuff like that. So I'm kind of just like prepared. But yeah, we're officially on the last month. Technically that started on November 10th. So we're in the last like few weeks now. So tomorrow will be 37 weeks, 3 weeks from the due date. And so we could potentially, this, I mean, realistically, let's be honest, this could be the last episode before she comes. We could have two more episodes before she comes. We could have one more. We don't know. So at this point, just be prepared to have a hiatus from us if we do go into labor. We may try, I may try to have Skylar post like an update on our socials or something, or even come on here for like one of those little, like, what is it, like a trailer or like an update short where he says like, oh yeah, we went into labor, we'll be back soon, whatever. But we'll try to keep it updated just so y'all know when that time does come and when there may be like a little 3 or 4 week break in episodes, because I'm sure we're going to want to talk about like what those first 2 weeks are like pretty close to the time of when it happened. And we're probably going to share our birth story and stuff like that on here. And we don't want to do it too far away from time, so we're still fresh in our minds, but we definitely are going to take like some time after she's born to kind of like just gather ourselves, obviously. So,
and then I was going to mention too that like Kaylee's almost, she's almost at the point where she's going to stop working, what is it, in a week or 2 weeks?
I'm serving tables for the last time this Thursday.
Stop working completely, but she's not going to serve tables anymore. Mm-hmm. Which
is the last, even like the last couple days, like I've only served 3 hours, and it's like my body is just like, I'm sending pictures of my, Skylar, of my swollen ankles, and like my body is just like throbbing, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I personally wish she could stop like now, but you know, shout out to unpaid maternity leave, so.
Yeah, literally, so. And even when I stop serving, I'm still going to be working. I just won't make my extra, like, tip money, which, so, you know, is whatever. But.
So everyone share this podcast and make us famous so we can be comfortable.
Yeah. Blow up my TikTok. Make me TikTok famous. Let me become a creator.
Yeah, give it, shout out your handle.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
No? Okay.
I don't even know what my handle is, to be honest.
All right, cool.
Anyways, but we will be here hopefully next week with another episode. I do go to the doctor again. I go every week now, every Tuesday. So I'm sure next Sunday we'll talk about my 37-week appointment and any other stuff that's happened between now and then.
Yep. So we'll talk to everyone later. Hope everyone's having a good start to their holidays. And maybe we'll see you next weekend. I think we will, but you never know. But all right. Bye.
Bye.